Stuff that changed the world.
The mobile phone.
The internet changed the world.
Penicillin, I would have thought.
I would say sanitation.
It changes everything.
Simon Tierney joins us once again. And Simon, the fact that we're talking about the handkerchief today does make me wonder, what did people blow their nose in before the handkerchief? But I suppose we could get to that. What brought it to your mind to talk about the hanky this week?
Well, Sean, my interest in the handkerchief was first ignited by when I suppose I realised that a certain generation, still use the cotton handkerchief. Mm. My father always has a freshly laundered cotton handkerchief, and I always thought, my goodness, it's quite a kind of sartorial decision. It's almost part of the costume, isn't it?
It's being a gentleman.
It is. Yes. But you don't see it much nowadays.
No, you don't.
The laundered white cotton handkerchief. Mostly you'll have people with a tissue in their pockets, which can be rather disgusting depending on how it's used. But of course they can all be rather disgusting because of what they're used for their practical purpose. But it brings to mind the question of the etiquette surrounding this. And etiquette, Victorian etiquette and predating that, there's always been questions about how one should use a handkerchief. You know, in the Victorian period, a woman wasn't supposed to use her handkerchief at all. It was purely symbolic.
Yes.
But nowadays, we use handkerchiefs in different ways. I have particularly strong views on this. I don't know if you have any views on this, Sean. But for me, I've tried to break down how I would describe different handkerchief users. So what I've come up with is four categories. The first is the elephant blower. This is the person on the bus or in your office workplace who, when they blow their nose, it sounds like an elephant making elephant sounds. The second is the excavator. The excavator is the person who just can't quite get in there but will keep trying and goes all the way up using their handkerchief.
Yeah, yeah.
The third is the dabber. This is the person who isn't willing to go full elephant and will just dab the drops off the end of their nose instead. And the fourth is what I call the discreeter. This is someone who will very gently whisper the blow into their handkerchief.
Yes.
And turn away from you while you're doing it. Mm. So, if there are other categories out there, please let us know. But where did the handkerchief come from? And to answer your original question, it's in the name. If we study the etymology of the word handkerchief, it's a rather unusual word. First of all, we have to break it down. We take the hand part away and we're left with kerchief. I remember when I was in the Beavers, Cubs and Scouts, we had to wear a little kerchief, is like a little scarf around the neck.
A cravat type arrangement.
Like a cravat. Yeah, exactly. But that comes from the old French. And the language at that time, the cur part comes from the verb curvir, to cover. And sheaf is an old French word for head. So what kerchief means is a head covering. So this is essentially the precursor to the bonnet, which women wore on their heads. And the kerchief over the head, the ends of it were often used to dab one's nose as a sort of a tissue.
Mm.
At some point in the 13th century, the kerchief became separated from the head and it started to act as a tissue or as a hand kerchief.
Right, okay.
So that's where we get the word from.
So it was then, as an item, it was thought of more as a garment rather than something you'd blow your nose into.
Absolutely. It was basically a hat, which people would wipe their noses or their mouths, indeed, with. And it was in the 14th century when Richard II popularized it as an item of apparel. He was appalled by his courtiers wiping their mouths and their noses, indeed, during a meal, on the sleeves of their robes.
Uh-huh.
And he always carried a square of cloth, and it became anglicised as a handkerchief.
But some of these, I mean, obviously historically there was embroidery and there were very decorative, very fancy little items, but they were still intended for occasionally somebody to do a bit of excavating with.
Yeah, it's a funny one, Sean. Sometimes they were, but generally, especially for women, they were considered highly prized, valuable, beautiful items that were often handed down from generation to generation. Catherine de Medici, who we've talked about in this slot before for her massive influence on French culture, you know, she brought the fork from Italy to the French court when she married in to the French royal family. She also brought her handkerchiefs from Florence over to France. These were beautifully embroidered lace items, and they were often used to commemorate events, you know, the marriage of a king and queen. They were like what we would describe nowadays as the commemorative plate, you know, where you have like Charles and Di on a plate from 1982 or whatever. But they really come into their own, Sean, in the 18th century. And there's a reason for this, which is quite interesting, I think, because, of course, tobacco had landed in the European continent and indeed Britain in the 16th century. But by the early 18th century, the most noble form of tobacco, so to speak, was snuff. And if we look at the German word for handkerchief right to this day, and please excuse my French pronunciation, but it is Schnupfutsch.
Yeah, it would be your German pronunciation, just to be more accurate about it, I wouldn't have thought.
Schnupfutsch.
Oh, no, I don't know. That's excellent. It's like being there. Angela Merkel. No, if you've just tuned in, that's not Angela Merkel. Merkel.
Yeah. The Schnupfutsch is literally a handkerchief to this day, but it refers to the snuff that was used in the 18th century.
Right.
So what you would do, I don't know if you've ever had snuff. I've been offered snuff once. It's a bizarre experience. I wouldn't repeat it. It's like someone grinding some pepper into your nose.
Yeah, I've never. Yeah.
So when you take the snuff, it causes you to sneeze. I don't really get it. But anyway, after a few minutes of taking snuff, you will notice, and this actually happened to me. It's quite an alarming experience. You know that feeling when you have a bang and you suddenly realize that your nose is bleeding, and you suddenly realize that there's a drop coming down the top of your lip. That's what it's like after taking snuff, because your nose starts to kind of uncontrollably start releasing this mucus down the top of your lip. Mm. And it's kind of brown in colour. If you just stick with me, I know this is rather disgusting.
Yeah.
And then you take your Schnupfutsch and you wipe that across your face. Now, in order to conceal the fact that you now have this disgusting mucal membrane that's been transferred onto your handkerchief, what you need to do, or what manufacturers started to do, was to embroider much darker coloured handkerchiefs in order to conceal those dirty, grotesque stains.
Oh, God. That is totally disgusting.
Yes.
So, is there a connection between, I mean, in you know, all these periods of history that you're talking about, and a lot of it's ruled by etiquette, and so women had hankies that were embroidered, and so a lot of this stuff wasn't really used, or did
certainly
have a kind of a pretend practical function.
Yeah, perhaps not used for their practical reasons, but what they were often used for was this sort of language of flirtation, Sean, particularly in the Victorian period, and perhaps in the 18th century as well. But a Victorian woman who was unmarried would often use it to send signals to gentlemen in the drawing room, perhaps.
Yeah.
So, for example, twirling or twisting a handkerchief around the fingers of your right hand signaled that you were interested in your interlocutor. Twisting it in your left hand signaled that I'm not interested in you, please move away from me. if a lady drew a handkerchief across her forehead very gently, that told the man that we need to be careful, that we are being watched, and, you know, we need to be a
calm
little bit
down
more
a bit, yeah.
Yeah. This is all getting a bit out of hand. And finally, my favorite one is if a lady dropped her handkerchief on the floor, it told the gentleman that I'm feeling very hot and bothered. It's time that we took this elsewhere.
Okay. Because that is a phrase, hanky drop, as a way to kind of attract attention.
Yes, exactly, the hanky drop, yeah.
When then did people start going, oh, hang on, you can also blow your nose in these? When did that become acceptable?
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, I came across one etiquette book, and it does suggest that you can, you know, very lightly whisper a blow into this. Now, let me just read out this Victorian, late 19th century Victorian etiquette book about handkerchiefs. It says, you can, if you so please, delicately touch the lips with its lacy edge, and one may sniff it ever so slightly to get its sweetness, because they often put perfume in them, but it must not be put to utilitarian uses, for the parlour handkerchief is an ornament, not a thing for use. To blow the nose with enthusiasm is exquisitely bad form. If necessary to shed a few tears, the hanky can be used to lightly dry the teardrop. It is bad form to weep with abandon into the handkerchief. The emotions must be controlled into picturesqueness. So the point there is, I know, it's rather complicated, but the handkerchief really takes off when it becomes disposable, Sean.
Right, yeah.
And I'm surprised, actually, how recent this history is. And to be fair, it really is the history of perhaps the most famous handkerchief, disposable handkerchief company in the world. That's Kleenex. Kleenex were responding to, the company that made Kleenex, which is Kimberly-Clark from Wisconsin. They responded to an issue during World War One, where there was there wasn't enough natural cotton for the bandages that were required for the field hospitals. And they invented a brilliant material called cellucotton, which is somewhat similar to the stuffing inside a disposable nappy. It's made with wood pulp fiber. And this was used as a substitute for cotton bandages. After the war, they had this massive surplus of cellucotton, and they didn't know what to do with it because obviously people didn't need it for bandaging anymore. And they turned it into a cold cream cloth that actresses and Broadway stars and the like could remove makeup with at the end of the day. Now, they realised when they did a survey, this was sort of in the post-World War I period, but they did a survey in the 1920s, and they realised that only a third of their customers were using these tissues to remove makeup. The other 66% were using them to blow their nose. And they had a massive turning point in their advertising campaign, and they suddenly focused on the blow your nose market, and they introduced this famous advertising slogan, which was, don't put a cold in your pocket, which is a really important ad in the history of marketing, because it was trying to distinguish itself from the non-disposable handkerchief, and it was saying that cotton handkerchiefs are unsanitary because you're literally, you're blowing your nose and then you're putting all that horribleness into your pocket.
Yeah.
Whereas with a disposable tissue, you are getting rid of that cold, so to speak.
And is it true that people used to use Kleenex as coffee filters?
That was sometimes advertised, that you would place a Kleenex over your cafetiere and pour coffee into it.
Right, okay. My dad always used to use a handkerchief until he was told it was unsanitary and that tissues were healthier when used and disposed of quickly afterwards. If the people who blow their nose in whatever way they choose, but then decide to look in the tissue to see what they've done, that is true.
Oh,
that is a
lookers,
category. Yeah, lookers. That's,
I need
disgusting.
To add that to my list.
Yeah. When you blow, you fold over the tissue and use again or dispose. No tissue inspections required. The grumpy farmer says he's never without a handkerchief, and he's only 39. Mind you, as a farmer, it's generally far from pristine. Laundered white. I had an English teacher in school back in the 70s who was always blowing his nose. Before blowing his nose, he'd open it out, pick off previous snots that dried out, flick them onto the floor. On top of all that, he was a useless teacher. Well, obviously he was busy. I took to using a handkerchief a few months ago for environmental reasons. I'm trying to use fewer disposable things in my life. I take a clean one every day. There are 8 sides that I can use due to the way it's folded. It's far more satisfying than a tissue. I don't bother with the whole ironing thing. And somebody wonders, is that where the term hanky-panky comes from, the hanky drop? And
yeah, I thought it did, but I was researching that and it doesn't actually. It comes from magicians of the 19th century. When they produce some sort of trickery. The word for that was hanky-panky, because they were using a hanky or a handkerchief to you know, produce a rabbit from a hat or something like that.
Oh, that's fascinating. Simon is fascinating as ever. Simon Tierney there on the handkerchief. We're going to take a break after that, bringing rocks back from Mars.